Today's scripture reading is from the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 3, verses 1 through 10. Roughly 1,000 years before Christ, a young boy named Samuel was born to a woman named Hannah, who brought him to live with an important elderly priest named Eli, so that her son would be raised in service to God. You see, Eli was the priest of the sacred shrine at Shiloh, where the Ark of the Covenant was kept. Eli was happy to train up the boy Samuel because his own two sons had kind of turned out badly. They were champions of priestly corruption and dishonorable beyond hope. They were champions of priestly corruption and had been turned away from all holiness and reverence for God. And as a result, God had become silent, leaving the people to their own depravity. What is there to say if no one is listening? So Eli placed his last flicker of hope for the redemption of Israel in the little boy Samuel. And here is how it began. So, chapter 3 in 1 Samuel. Now the boy Samuel was ministering to the Lord under Eli. The word of the Lord was rare in those days. Visions were not widespread. At that time, Eli, whose eyesight had begun to grow dim so that he could not see, was lying down in his room. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called, "Samuel, Samuel." And he said, "Here I am." And he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But Eli said, "I did not call. Lie down again." So Samuel went and lay down. The Lord called again, "Samuel." Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But he said, "I did not call my son. Lie down again." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, and the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. The Lord called Samuel again a third time, and he got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." Then Eli perceived that the Lord was calling the boy. Therefore Eli said to Samuel, "Go lie down, and if he calls you, you shall say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. Now the Lord came and stood there calling as before, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." May God add a blessing to our understanding.
Please pray with me. Wondrous God, we ask that you would reveal yourself to us today as we seek to draw close to the mystery of your presence. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be pleasing and acceptable to you, our rock and our salvation. Amen. So for the last 2 weeks, we've been looking at Scripture as kind of a roadmap that might chart a course for Tricon Church as we continue to evolve through a time of change. In between every ending and every new beginning, there's a period of time that some call the neutral zone. I wish there was an echo on my microphone. The neutral zone. This is always a time of fluidity and steady current, the steady current that we've always relied upon in our systems, and the comfortable way of navigating through the day-to-day meets with a new flow of a different stream. Well, things have changed, right? And the river turns differently because of the change, and it's not the same as it was before the ending, but the flow is yet to settle into what the new current has to offer. This is at best a bumpy period in any system. And at worst, it's terrifying. This neutral zone has been described by experts as that uncomfortable in-between place. It's like being between trapeze. You've let go of something and you're waiting for what's to come. Or some have said it's like Linus when his blanket's in the dryer. Remember that? There's nothing to hold on to, right? And so in the neutral zone, when we're in that place, it's often good to have a plan and a direction to help navigate. And we've called our plan Evolve 2017. So back in the beginning of January, on January 8th, we looked at how the act of baptism can actually be seen as a recreation story, a recreation of the Exodus story. That was when God delivered Israel through the water to the promised land. And I spoke about the importance of remembering our stories because they inform us about how we have come to behave and function or not in the system that we are currently part of. So we remember where we've come from. There's a strong connection between memory and hope. Remembering our story, the story of those who have come before us, has the power to awaken and even frame our most profound hope for what our future might be. The story we tell ourselves about our past is the story that we continue to build upon in the future. So that becomes important. Remember. And then last week we studied the need for repentance. Not as some tent revival rhetoric of turn or burn. Repentance is not a stern threat by an angry God attempting to strong-arm us into heaven, but rather an invitation to see things differently, to change our minds about assumptions and perhaps recalculate our spiritual GPS and reorient our direction. Michelle Fornash told a compelling story of repentance and redemption that illustrated this idea beautifully. I don't know if some of you have heard about it, but you can find it on our sermon podcast or download the transcript on our website or Facebook page. It's really worth doing. It was really something. As we remember who we have been and examine who we are today, it will be important to open to the possibility that maybe there are things that we might want to let go of, and that we are holding us imprisoned, and that we need to reorient ourselves to imagine what God dreams for our future together. Repent. Today, we want to look at how we might discern which way the wind of the Spirit of God is blowing in our congregation, in our community, in our country, in our world. How do we know that? After all, if you're in denial, how do you know it, right? How do we position ourselves to open to all that might be possible? Well, in 1 Samuel, we read the story of a community that had simply just forgotten how to listen to God. It wasn't even on their radar. As Mary Jane said, the old priest Eli's sons, who were supposed to be the ones nurturing the spiritual life of the community, had turned in a wrong direction. Scripture says flat out, Eli's sons were scoundrels. They had no regard for the Lord. It says that in the Bible. But God will always find a way, even if we feel separated from God. That does not mean that God is separated from us. And I'm not suggesting at all that Tricon's in this situation either. Get that? I hope you don't think that. But what we can learn is that from this little toddler acolyte Samuel, who was bumbling around the temple of the shrine at Shiloh, as innocent and as free as any young monk could be. You see, Samuel was a blank canvas. And finally, he gets this message that this is God calling him, not the old blind priest. And Samuel replies with childlike wonder and says, "Speak, for your servant is listening." What I learned from this story is that to hear the voice of God, I must put myself into a quiet, listening position. I must become a blank canvas. Perhaps Samuel could hear the voice calling in the night because his head wasn't filled with grown-up, mature presumptions and fixed theologies about how God works. He was too young to be convinced of his own unworthiness, or too innocent to be guided by perceived limitations and legitimate fears. I know that when I perceived my call to go to seminary at 50 years old, I didn't simply say, "Speak, Lord, for your servant's listening." I said, "This cannot possibly be right. I have a family to feed. I'm not very bright. I'm too old. Can't speak Greek. Can't read Greek." But Samuel was simply open to the experience. Eli, the old elder theologian, was in the same room, and he didn't even hear God. He didn't hear a thing. There's this other story you may remember about the colorful prophet Elijah. Poor Elijah. He was fleeing for his very life because he had simply spoken loudly, speaking God's truth to power, and had to run away. But he was holed up in this remote cave, high on the side of a mountain, seeking the nearness of God. When all of a sudden there was a very powerful wind that came and caused landslides to come crashing over the mountainside. And then that was followed by this earthquake. And after the earthquake, there's a fire that blazed. But God was not in the landslide. God was not in the wind or the earthquake or the fire. And after all the chaos, after all the drama, Scripture says there was a soft, quiet whisper, and God passed by. It seems to me that to discern God's call and will for us, we must free ourselves of all the fear and catastrophe. We must put ourselves in a position to quietly listen. We must be still before God and give our entire attention to what God is now doing in this place, right now. This is not a one-time thing to soothe our discomfort through the neutral zone, but it's a lifelong practice. Jesus told his disciples, "Listen." He said to pay attention, to be entirely present to what God is doing right now. Let anyone with ears listen. And also, the psalmist encourages us, "Today, if you hear the voice of God, do not harden your hearts." However God is calling us, as a congregation, as people, we should not be concerned about our age or our abilities. God is well acquainted with our weaknesses, but also knows our hearts, and knows the potential that exists here among us. God has a much better perspective than we do on what we can become when we answer the call. People of God, as we navigate between what was and what will be, we need not let anxiety drive us. The blanket will come out clean and warm out of the dryer. And as we wait between the trapezes, let us simply sit quietly, listen deeply, and speak boldly what we hear. Not only before God, but also with one another. Samuel and Elijah are two of many stories in Scripture that teach us that discerning God is never dependent whatsoever on our own cleverness, organizational prowess, or perceived strengths or weaknesses. Discernment comes in God's time as we are simply and humbly noticing the types of patterns of grace that exist among us. And when these patterns of grace are revealed to us, as we dare to listen to each other and to God and respond in faith. So, let's dwell together in the neutral zone, anticipating that we will find our way to the next beginning as we remember, repent, and reveal God's future. Amen.